mercy and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How good, Lord, to be here. What a great opening statement for a pastor new to a church, right? How good, Lord, to be here. Eric Praise Lutheran amongst my new church family and friends. Praise be to God. How good, Lord, to be here. Not only can I say that today, I think also some visitors here for Sarah Kate's baptism, I bet you also they could say, how good, Lord, to be here in honor of the baptism, to witness to that. And those from Ohio as well, even though it didn't turn out today, but I bet how good, Lord, to be here to worship and to pray and to praise and to see Justin too. How good, Lord, to be here. Yet, it wasn't me or our friends that came to visit today. It wasn't all of us who said it first, was it? It was St. Peter. Peter was the first one to say, how good, Lord, to be here. Why? Why? Well, it's because Peter and James and John were at the transfiguration of Jesus. And how good, Lord, to be here. Where? Up on that great mountain to see what they saw, that Jesus' clothes became white, brighter than anyone could bleach them here on earth. That's pretty bright. And to see that, and to realize what was happening there, how good, Lord, to be here. And there appeared there two men who didn't belong, Moses and Elijah. They didn't belong there because they had died centuries before. These are Old Testament people. They represented, by the way, the Old Testament, Moses, the law, the first five books of the Bible, and Elijah, one of the prophets, the great, great prophet of the Old Testament, if you will. So together, they kind of represent the whole kit and caboodle, if you will, the whole Old Testament, Moses, and all the prophets. And what they do, by their presence, they're bearing witness that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, whom all the Scriptures had foretold. He's here. Their presence bore witness to that. How good, Lord, to be here, to see Moses and Elijah dead, but back with Jesus, to see this brightness, to be assured with the eyes, the brightness of God dwelling in the face of Jesus. Oh, that we had that glorious vision ourselves. Oh, wouldn't it be easy to be a Christian if we every day could see Jesus in this glorified state? It'd be quite easy to be a Christian, wouldn't it? We might even, like Peter, blurt out in foolishness, let's make three tents, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Why? Because we want to stay up here on the mountain. Up here on the mountain, we see God revealed. Down there, we see the hidden God. Up here, God is glorious. Down there, God is hidden. Up here, we don't need faith, do we? We have it by sight. But down there, down off the mountain, it takes faith to believe how good, Lord, to be here. Up here, you see the face of God unveiled, the beauty and the glory of the Lord, the transfigured Christ. But down there, you have to live by faith, under law, under gravity, under sin. When I was a boy, we used to watch and play with Transformers. You ever see the Transformers? I guess there's some recent movies made about the Transformers. These are interesting characters, the Cybertronic robots that they turn into ordinary vehicles, sometimes rusty old vehicles and dump trucks, when they're not fighting the bad guys. It's the same kind of tension between Clark Kent and Superman. One is glorious, and the other is hidden, isn't it? One, the glory. But the thing here is that some are privileged to see, and that's how we in the movie, some of us are privileged to see the glory is always present. Even though Clark Kent goes around town, he's still Superman, isn't he? He still has all that power there. The Transformers, even though there's just a dump truck going by, we know it's a greater reality behind that. There's glory behind that greater, behind that hidden outer shell, if you will. And that's something that God wants us to teach, wants to teach us about Jesus. Even and especially when he's not looking all glorious, the glory of God is still there. In fact, some would say in Jesus' least glorious moments of his life, that's when the fullness of the glory of God is being revealed. And I have especially in mind thinking of the cross, the day of the cross. The cross doesn't look very glorious, does it? It doesn't look very glorious. It looks kind of gory, not glorious. But according to God's word, according to what is happening there, this event, the cross, shows the full glory of God. Now, there's no bright clothes. There's actually some bloody garments on Jesus. But truly, the full glory of God is being revealed on the cross. Why? Because that death, that cross was for you, wasn't it? It was for you. It takes away your sin. It reconciles you to God. No longer does sin separate you from God. Now you are reconciled through the blood, through the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you say on Good Friday, how good, Lord, to be here? I think you can, because you come on a day when it says Good Friday. Did you ever notice that? It doesn't say Bad Friday or Black Friday. Good Friday. There's a reason for that, isn't there? So when we come on Good Friday, may we all say, how good, Lord, to be here. Painful, tearful, yes. Why? Because we understand humanity. We understand it's for our sin. And yet that Christ, that God, who is glorious, is dying for you. And the transfiguration gives us a little foretaste of the power that is in Christ Jesus to be raised back to life. In fact, the transfiguration happened at a turning point in the gospel. And at the end of the gospel, we heard how they weren't supposed to say anything about this until Jesus was raised from the dead. It's supposed to be kind of a hidden thing. Well, now in the gospel, here in the gospel, Mark chapter 9 and Matthew as well, it says Jesus turns his face towards Jerusalem. And this is a sign to us that something is changing. A big event has happened. This is the season of Epiphany right now. And Epiphany started with Jesus' baptism, a great revealing event. There's a voice from heaven and so forth. And now at the end of Epiphany, this is the last Sunday of Epiphany, another revealing. And now Jesus is going to turn his face towards Jerusalem and be hidden. It's the hidden God who's going to be hidden in suffering. That's why we celebrate it right now before Ash Wednesday. It's always the last Sunday right before Ash Wednesday, the transfiguration of Jesus. Before we enter into that valley of repentance and reflection on our sin and our disobedience and our failure to do all that God wills for our lives, we are given a brief momentary glimpse of the glory of God, a brief glimpse of heaven, if you will, to give us hope that there's light at the end of the tunnel. God doesn't just want us to live in darkness and repentance and pain and suffering. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And we get to see it up on the mountain. And we'll see it again at his resurrection. So have hope. So, when you climb down the mountain today, remember to hang on to Peter's words. How good, Lord, to be here. Hang on to Peter's words. Don't leave them on the mountain. Take them with you down to the valley. Take them with you to the next mountain, to Mount Calvary, when again you can say with your full glory, how good, Lord, to be here. Take them with you as you come to church this Ash Wednesday. Come and say, how good, Lord, to be here. Even as we put ashes on our foreheads, even as we repent of our sins and kneel, still we can say, how good, Lord, to be here, because that sin is being removed by our transfigured Lord Jesus Christ. Take them with you throughout life, that in the times of trial and suffering, that you can still declare, how good, Lord, to be here. It may be against our nature, but even when times are tough, even when we're suffering, even when you're about to enter the hospital room for that surgery, maybe on your deathbed, that you'd be able to say, how good, Lord, to be here. It's not easy, is it? But that's what God would teach us through the transfiguration. He is with us, he is great and glorious, and he's hiding himself in suffering. God revealed himself to us in suffering, and we are being conformed to the image of God's Son. So we have a reason to rejoice. Because when we die, we also will rise again. Just as Sarah Kate today was united to Jesus' death, so also was she united to his resurrection. We praise God for that wonderful, wonderful gift. You know, also today we're going to receive the Lord's Supper, and that's something I think we should all be able to say, how good, Lord, to be here, right? We receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We come forward to receive that great gift. How good, Lord, to be here. Why? Because who is here? Christ is here. He's hidden behind the bread and the wine, but truly, he is here. Heaven and earth are joined together. As you come to the sacrament to receive Jesus' body and blood, confess, how good, Lord, to be here. How good, Lord, to be here. Lastly, I want to make a little observation that ties the transfiguration today to baptism. Okay? Baptism of Sarah Kate. At the beginning of at Epiphany, we heard about the baptism of Jesus and what happened at the baptism of Jesus, but heavens opened, the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove, and we heard a voice. Do you remember what the voice said? It says, "You are my son, my beloved." Does that sound familiar? We heard the same thing today in the Transfiguration. "This is my son, my beloved." And the Transfiguration text adds, "Listen to him." There's a tie, kind of like a beginning of Epiphany and the end of Epiphany, the same revelation, the same voice of God saying, "This is my son. You are my son. This is my son." That's the greatest epiphany of all, that we might hear and rejoice. So also now, as Sarah Kate's baptized, can we also say that she is a child of God too? And the transfigured God, the great glorious God, has revealed himself to Sarah Kate. What a great gift. I want to say something too. This is going to sound a little weird, Petty John's, but I'm going to say it anyway. Are you ready for this? Holy baptism is not a Petty John. Sorry, it's not a Petty John, okay? Sorry, Candace. Sorry, Chuck. Sorry, all you Petty Johns who are here. Sorry, it's not a Petty John. Now, I know Tyree, I know Brianna's not here, but I can also say too, sorry, Brianna, I know we're going to see you in a few weeks, whenever that could be, but baptism is not a Tyree. Not a Tyree. However, baptism is a gift. Now I see Lisa smiling. And Paul is a little smiling too, right? But, as you know, I don't mean that baptism isn't a Lisa gift or a Paul gift. That's not the kind of gift I mean. It is God's gift. God has given a great treasure in baptism. Eternal life. Salvation from sin and death and the devil. We have a great gift. And it's not our name that we hear in baptism. We're not baptized in any family name, are we? We're baptized into Christ's name. Into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. His name is what we hear at baptism. His name declares us as children of God with him forever. Even in death and in life and in resurrection, we have the glory of God. It is truly with us. How good, Lord, to be here. How good, Lord, to be here. And that spirit that Sarah Kate received today cries out from within her, how good, Lord, to be here. God's love is declared to Sarah Kate. How good, Lord, to be here. And may that same spirit which resides in each one of our hearts also cry out today, how good, Lord, to be here. How good, Lord, to be here. Amen. And now may the Spirit of God, which is concealed in our hearts, may ever hold fast to Jesus' word and ever rejoice that he is ever present in our lives. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.